Our scripture reading and also the text for the sermon this afternoon is Psalm 48. So we will read Psalm 48. And the editors of the book of Psalms wrote above it a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her, number her towers. Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. This is the word of God. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, in this past week, we celebrated Canada Day, a national holiday in honor of the country in which we live. And on it, we express how happy we are with this land. Gratefulness and modest pride are shown in waving flags and firework displays and backyard family celebrations. And the anthem is sung with glowing hearts. We see thee rise, the true north, strong and free. Well, this year, the celebration was more subdued in a way. COVID restrictions, societal unrest of the past year, and then also more recently, the reminder of past atrocities in our country have kind of dampened the celebration. But even so, many Canadians are happy with their country, and the holiday is the official time for show and tell, to show and tell of pines and maples, great prairies and lordly rivers, stalwart sons and gentle maidens. People love to show off the beauty of their land. Now, Psalm 48 is in a way a similar kind of show and tell. God's people are excited about their life with the Lord, the life in His kingdom, and especially the great city where His presence is so clearly visible, at least at the time that the psalm was written. Jerusalem, where the temple stood, and the palace of the Davidic king who ruled on God's behalf. Jerusalem, a city built on heavenly peace and divine justice. Jerusalem, a city designed for unbridled joy in the God who dwells with his people. Like all good poetry, Psalm 48 is full of concrete imagery. A few short sentences to paint a portrait of Jerusalem. A few short lines to give you different vignettes, different scenarios. This song may have been sung by pilgrims, believers who traveled from all over Israel to the festival in Jerusalem. And as they climbed the last few hills, they could then see the city there gleaming in the sun and admire its beauty. Look at that. Do you see that wonderful city? It's the city of our God. And for us today, this song is a bit of a challenge, as the Psalms often are, because we do not physically travel to Jerusalem. The temple is no longer there. The Lord is not present in a physical city the way that He used to be in the Promised Land. But still, we keep Psalm 48 in our Bibles, and we sing it, and I hope we sing it regularly. It's a beautiful psalm. Because what we have to show and to tell to each other and to the world around us is not that different. In fact, as followers of Jesus, we can complete the story told by Psalm 48, and we can sing of even greater glory. We can sing of the fulfillment, you could say, of this psalm. So I want to look with you at Psalm 48 under the theme, Show and Tell the Glory of God's City. We will look at her awesome security, at her delightful justice, and at her lasting glory as we make our way through the psalm from the beginning to the end. Psalm 48 begins by describing the city of God on top of a mountain, a holy mountain, a mountain dedicated to the Lord. The city towers above the surrounding landscape. It is a beautiful stronghold. Now, I want you to think about that. What is so important about having a city? Why did people live inside stone walls? Do you want to live inside stone walls because that is extra pretty? I notice we are in an area here without a lot of stone walls. You wouldn't build them because they're pretty, right? Why wouldn't you want to live on top of a mountain? Well, to be safe, right? To be safe from enemies. Nowadays, we don't do that much anymore, and that's because enemies now can have airplanes, and then the walls don't help much. But back then, if you had a mountain and you had stone walls, that could keep the enemies out. It is hard to get through or to climb over a strong wall with guards on the top. It is even harder to invade a city when you first have to somehow climb the steep mountain slopes. And in that sense, Jerusalem was built as a stronghold, as a fortress. But the real strength of the city did not come from its stone walls or its high position. And in that sense, the language in this psalm about stones and they use all these more technical words, right? Towers and ramparts and citadels. In a way, we have to understand these as not just the physical features. There is something deeper here about the city. Verse 3 says that God is her fortress. So Jerusalem is a fortress, but the psalm says, but God is her fortress. That idea of God being the actual defense of the city, that is at the heart of this psalm, that God is the one who gives his people security. Now, I will not bother you with the discussions that can be had about the structure of this poem. Old Testament scholars love to pick that apart and find out how the psalm is built up. I would suggest if you have a pew Bible like the ESV, right? Maybe put a little white space between verse 7 and 8. That makes the psalm very symmetric. And then you see that Psalm 8 is kind of at the heart of everything. Verse 8 is the middle of the psalm, and it says, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. Or you can also translate the city which God will make secure forever. That's the heart of the psalm. In the city of God, the people feel safe and secure because the city is established. It is strong and steady. And that is because the Lord protects his people. Enemies cannot reach them. The wicked world powers cannot get in. And verses 4 through 7 explain that in a vivid way. Again, good poetry versus concrete, lively pictures. So verse 4 through 7 says, imagine. Just picture this. Several kings visiting each other because they want to destroy God's people. And then they put their armies together and they march towards the holy city. But when they get close, they stop short. And they see the lofty mountain. And they see how strong the stone walls are. And they see how well the city is protected. And what do all these big armies do? They stop. And they're afraid. And their knees are trembling. And they throw down their weapons and turn around and run away. That is how formidable a fortress the Lord is for his people. Another brief picture you find in verse 7. Imagine the biggest sailing ships that you have ever seen bringing cargo from far away. Tarshish is a town probably out towards Spain from which cargo was imported. For the people in Israel, Tarshish was like the end of the world. So imagine those big boats that bring cargo from far away. But now a storm wind begins to blow harder and harder, and the sails flap in the wind and they rip, and the masts break, and the ships are blown sideways and tip over, and no matter how big they are, they sink down to the bottom of the sea with all that is in it because of the strong wind. So strong is the Lord when he defends his people. He can blow over the armies like those boats. The psalm talks about the city and the fortress and the mountains. But as I said, it is really not about the physical strength of the city of Jerusalem. It is true that Jerusalem was built on a hill, Mount Zion. But that was not on a super high rock or anything like it. Just outside of Israel, you had mountains in the north. Mountain ranges like Lebanon. Now those mountains north of Israel, those were lofty mountains. I looked it up online because the internet can tell you anything. And it tells me that Mount Zion is less than 800 meters tall. It's an okay hill, but not a tall mountain. 800 meters or 2,500 feet. The Lebanon mountains just north of Israel, they average 2,500 meters. That's like 8,000 feet. So if you're going to compare, the Jerusalem mountain is just a pimple compared to the surrounding mountains like Lebanon in the north. In the same way, if you would look at Jerusalem's walls and you would compare them to the cities of, say, Damascus or Tyre or Sidon in neighboring countries, I don't think you would be necessarily very impressed by Jerusalem. Sure, it's a wall, but is it the best wall? But when God's people have their show and tell, they don't hesitate. This city, Jerusalem, is the joy of the earth. And this city, even though it looks from the outside like an average city on a pimple of a mountain, this city can compare easily with the loftiest mountains and fortresses because her strength comes from the Lord. He is the one who defends her, and therefore there is perfect safety. Now, as the people of the Lord today, we can sing a similar song. No, we do not have a physical fortress. And if you look around in North America, the church is less influential than the big culture makers of our day. The church cannot make a fist against Hollywood and the universities and big business and other powers that be. But our strength is not physical. Our strength is not cultural in nature. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And his spiritual power is easily greater than anything in the world. God himself dwells in his church, and that is the source of our safety. And I think especially in our times, it is important that we see this really clearly today. We need to know this truth. More than in the past decades, we worry about the decline of Christian values in society. We can worry about the rise of a secular and pagan lifestyle, about our culture and government becoming increasingly hostile to the church. It is nothing new, but it becomes more and more obvious. And when we see that, and we tend to worry about it, we should understand, no, we have a strong city, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He keeps us safe, even against the greatest enemies. While the church may seem weak and crumbling from a social point of view, from a spiritual perspective, we are like the city on the hill. We see the kingdom of God making its way in this world, a power that cannot be stopped and that no one can oppose. And so the first half of the psalm that we looked at, this first half looks at God's city, as it were, from the outside. It's a city that is strong and secure, well protected. The second half of Psalm 48 is written from an inside perspective. It is a lot more intimate and small scale, you could say. And there is a powerful contrast between that first half and the second half. In verses 4 through 7, enemies are totally destroyed. In verses 9 through 11, the friends of the city are filled with exuberant joy. What a contrast. The people who live in the city and the villagers who live under the city's protection, as they are mentioned in verse 11, they are happy. So what are they so happy and joyful about? If you look through verses 9, 10, and 11, you see a number of keywords. They are happy because of God's love. They're happy because of God's righteousness. They are happy because of God's judgments. And those are all things that really go together. So one of the most wonderful things about our God is His way of dealing with people. What He does is thoroughly good. And He is good in the sense of justice, of doing what is right and what is fair. The Lord straightens out crooked situations. He punishes those who do wicked things. He rescues those who are treated poorly. And the Bible has a beautiful word for that kind of attitude, and we typically translate that word as righteousness. Righteousness is something that God has, that something that God is. He is righteous. And those who follow Him and behave in a way that imitates Him, those people too are called righteous. In old Jerusalem, the righteousness and justice of God were made very concrete in the city's institutions. What building was it in Jerusalem that especially was focused on God's righteousness? Do you know? Well, there was a palace. The king in Jerusalem, on the throne of David, he was there to judge the people in the name of the Lord on the basis of God's righteousness, which he had shown in his holy law. There is, in the Bible, another pilgrim's psalm about the glory of Jerusalem that spells this out in more detail. What psalm is that? Well, I'll give you a hint. We sang it this afternoon already. Psalm 122. Psalm 122, verse 5 says, "There, in Jerusalem, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Through the king, God administered justice in the city in such a way that evil was removed and people could really flourish." And then Psalm 122 continues to sing about the peace of Jerusalem, because peace is the result of justice. Now this justice goes then hand in hand with God's love, which is also mentioned in verse 9, steadfast love. The word used there for love in verse 9 is a very important key word in the Old Testament. It is translated in different ways as goodness or mercy, or if you look at the old Bible translations, loving kindness. It's a very beautiful and intimate word that is used all the time to describe who God is and who He is toward us. God is full of this kind of love, this mercy. This word describes how the Lord gives blessing to people because He favors them, even though they are not deserving. And we find that same word, for instance, in the well-known chorus of Israelite liturgy. What do you know what line you find most often in the Psalms and in descriptions of how the Israelites worshipped? What sentence did they repeat over and over sometimes? For His mercy endures forever. Right? That word mercy there, that's the same word here. It is God's love, His mercy, His goodness and kindness that He puts into action. We hear this word in Lamentation 3 verse 22, that well-known verse. It is of the mercies of the Lord that we have not perished. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord administers justice in mercy. He administers righteousness in love. He does not only enforce the law to the letter in a cold way, but He gives good things simply because He loves doing so, because that is who He is. That is God's steadfast love. And so the city of God is not only secure against enemies from the outside, but it also has profound peace and prosperity within because of who the Lord is and because of how He is to His people. All citizens of God's city can be deeply happy, and they sing a song of praise, and they sing, "Within Your temple, Lord, we meditate, we think on Your steadfast love." Verse 9, that's a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. Within the temple, because that is where the undeserved love of the Lord was most visible. Within the temple where sacrifices were brought on behalf of God's people to cover their sin and to make them holy. Within the temple where the self-sacrificial righteousness of God was proclaimed by every slaughtered animal, by every washing, by every song of praise that the priests would raise. And this is how you should think about the city of Jerusalem when you read about it in the Bible. Two key buildings, the palace where the justice of God was put into practice, and the temple where the forgiving love of the Lord was put on display. The temple is no longer there in Jerusalem. But we who belong to the city and the kingdom of God, we are the temple of the Lord. That is how the New Testament describes the church. We are the temple of the Lord, put together from living stones as a dwelling for the Holy Spirit. And so we too can sing, "Within Your temple, Lord, we think on Your steadfast love." As the Church of Jesus Christ, we reflect joyfully on the great love that the Lord has shown to us. We celebrate the righteousness that is ours through Jesus Christ. And if we are truly the Church of Jesus Christ, then in the power of the Holy Spirit, we do what the kings and priests in Jerusalem were tasked to do. If we are truly the Church of Jesus Christ, we administer merciful justice among ourselves, in our lives, and to the neighbors around us, by loving and forgiving each other, by sharing each other's burdens, by encouraging each other, by blessing each other in the name of the Lord, by small and great acts of kindness and self-sacrificial love. So that we are not only the community protected from outside by the power of God, but also the community driven from the inside by the Spirit and the love of God. Secure in God's care and living in God's peace, we are really blessed and we can be truly happy and joyful, just as the Jerusalemites are in Psalm 48. And then it is time to celebrate, to see it once again for ourselves and to tell it to others. That is why we have celebrations. That is why, for instance, we have Canada Day, to celebrate what we have and to tell it to others and to remind ourselves. And so, says Psalm 48, verse 12, go ahead. Go ahead. Take the tour. Walk around the city. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Look at the sturdy protection that you have. Explore the fortresses with its towers. And think what it means. It's not about stones. It's about the Lord who has blessed this city. Just look around so that you realize very clearly once again how wonderfully God protects you. So that you experience very deliberately how beautiful the life in that city is. Go celebrate it. And then show and tell. Tell it to your neighbors who do not yet know the Lord and His kingdom. Show it to your young ones, to your children. Take them by the hand and lead them around. Give them the tour. Show it to the young people who take up their lives as adults, as the next generation in the city. Explain to them why this city of God is the best of all. Tell them of the ways in which the Lord has defended you against enemies from outside, against unrest from within. Have them memorize the stories of old about the Lord and His work. Explain the principles of justice and the love of God as it is visible all around you. Sing of the peace of Zion and teach that song to your young ones. Because the glory of Jerusalem will remain. No, not of the physical city of Jerusalem. As I said, the temple stands no more and we have no reason to want to rebuild it. But the Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, it will remain and its glory will remain. Generations may come and go, but the Lord is always the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. The Lord who is loving and gracious, He is. He is the God who protects us and gives us peace. If you look in the world around, nothing is stable. Everything is in motion. Everything changes. Nations come and go. Governments rise and fall. Friends are fickle and let you down. And nothing is certain. But we belong not to this world that changes. We belong to the kingdom of God. We live in the city of King Jesus, and He will always keep us secure. His love and His mercy are forever. His justice will prevail. His peace will last. He embodies what the city of Jerusalem stood for. And so make sure to walk around that city. Admire the hearts of the city, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain and risen again. And then you can sing that song and share it with your children and your neighbors. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of God. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which He will establish forever. This is God, our God, forever and ever, and He will guide us forever. Shall we pray?